What you have before you now are texts from Evagrius Ponticus on the interrelationship between psalmody and prayer. Evagrius is the most prolific in terms of writings of the Desert Fathers, and he really is the only one who describes in any detail, other than Cassian, the spiritual significance of psalmody. He presupposes in all of his writings the underlying rhythm of alternated psalmody and prayer, whether at the Divine Office, at this twice daily celebration of the Liturgy of the Hours, at which the 12 Psalms would be said, with the silent prayer afterwards and the collect that followed, or the ongoing daily meditation on the Psalter, reciting of the texts to oneself and of other biblical texts as well, that would have been punctuated at intervals by prayer. Evagrius describes the spiritual significance of these two poles of the spiritual life in the texts that I've given you. If you drop down past the first two explanatory paragraphs, you'll see that I've given you chapters 82 to 87 from his On Prayer, De Oratione, as well as one chapter from the Practicos, chapter 69. And in these texts, in a very condensed form, we have a description of the spiritual significance and even the power of this rhythm of alternating psalmody and prayer. In chapter 82, prayer is to be offered gently and in an undisturbed fashion, whereas psalmody is to be prayed with understanding and good rhythm. And he gives the image of an eagle that's soaring aloft in the heights, as if this alternating rhythm of gentle and undisturbed prayer, interrupted regularly by, or itself interrupting, psalm singing, which is, he uses the term eurythmos. It means good rhythm, but it also means singing properly, singing with attention to the requirements of the music. That is a kind of a rhythm that lifts one up towards the heavens. And what he is doing here is describing the alternating poles, not just of psalmody and silent prayer, but hinting at the underlying spiritual meaning of these poles, psalmody containing the mini, that is to say, the older Platonic notion of many things, history, complexity, diversity, the complexity even of the music itself that would be used to chant the Psalms. Psalmody stands for this realm of beautiful complexity associated with creation, whereas the silent prayer at intervals interrupting the psalmody stands for that which is unified and simple, a simple act of self-offering. And so he's describing in very condensed form these two poles, this alternating rhythm. In 83, he describes the effect of it. Psalmody calms the passions. It puts to rest the body's disharmony. It was believed in antiquity, and certainly by Evagrius, that psalmody had the particular power to calm the passion of thumos, of anger or of wrath, of this arousal of our capacity to enter forcefully and even with the power to dissipate or to dispel into problematic aspects of our lives. Psalmody has the power to calm this when it becomes a passion, when it rises up as what we would today call an obsession or as a compulsion. Psalmody has the power to soothe or to calm, and the classical example of this is, of course, David using his harp to calm the wrath of Saul. So psalmody has that power. It also, as it says here, puts to rest the body's disharmony. The Greek term is akrasia, and it contains the word krasis, which means blending or even balance, the ancient notion of health or wholeness consisting of a balance in the underlying humoral, if you will, temperament. The elements, the fluids that are present in the body have to be in a kind of an attunement. And psalmody, it was believed, and this wasn't just a monastic thing, it was actually believed in ancient medicine, somehow has the power to retune, to realign, to restructure this underlying, even physiological disharmony into which we sometimes fall. Whereas prayer, he says, arouses the nous, the innermost self, to activate its own proper activity. And that proper activity, as it describes in number 84, is prayer. Psalmody prepares us by calming, by reestablishing the harmony, the even somatic attunement of the body, whereas prayer is a lifting up of the deepest part of the innermost self so that it can behold God and offer the self quite simply to God. Then number 85, in very condensed form, psalmody pertains to multiform wisdom, this poikile sophia, which St. Paul describes, the manifold wisdom of God, the wisdom of God reflected in Christ and in creation, in multiplicity and complexity, whereas prayer, he says, is the prelude, is the anticipation, the beginnings of a knowledge which is immaterial, beyond the created world, and uniform. Rather than complex, it is simple. It pertains to the unity and the simplicity of God. He reminds one in number 87 that God gives these gifts of prayer or psalmody as a gift of grace. And then in number 69, it's a great thing to pray without distraction, but even greater to sing psalms without distraction. He would say in another text that means to sing psalms as we find in Athanasius and in Cassian, with attention to the underlying dunamis, or meaning of the psalm. And we'll see an example of that in his Scholia a little further down. As we drop down past the next two paragraphs and a summary of chapters 82 to 86, outlined with colors alternating the terms that are used to describe prayer on the one hand and psalmody on the other, if you drop down to the section, the selection from On Various Evil Tempting Thoughts, this is a text from his Perilogismon, as it's now known. And in it, he gives a beautiful image. God has given us, he says in chapter 17, the noemata. He's filled our mind with ideas or concepts of the present world. It's as if our perception of creation, of multiplicity, of diversity in creation, is like a flock of sheep that's been placed within our heart. And God gives us the great gifts of, on the one hand, thumos, or indignation, our ability to become angry at injustice, and desire, epithumia, our capacity to be attracted by the beautiful. These are, he says, the gifts that help us tend this flock of inner sheep. And then he also says he's given us the psalter and a harp, as if psalmody is a gift that enables us to pasture this innermost garden of sheep. He then goes on in a couple of paragraphs that follow to describe the experience of temptation, and I invite you to read that on your own, that the flock is threatened. But then later on, and this is a highlighted text, he says that if we find ourselves weary with acedia, remember that was the vice that Antony in that apothem was subjected to when he saw himself rising at intervals for prayer, that was his way out of acedia. Evagrius similarly says that we should, he says, have a conversation with the psalter. Pluck the strings of the psalter on the rock of knowledge with the virtues of knowledge. What he's saying here very symbolically is that we take the insights, the spiritual insights that we acquire in praying the Psalms by understanding the innermost meaning of the words, and we allow those to calm our souls. And at the very end of this selection, then when the innermost self strips off the old human being, we see our own state at the time of prayer, like a sapphire or the color of heaven. We perceive at prayer this blue, heavenly, innermost self. And psalmody is one of the gifts which, alternating with prayer itself, enables us to see this true state of the soul, the heaven which is within us, the place of God within the depths of the heart. I've also given a sample here for you to review on your own of what he believes to be the meaning of the Psalter. The individual words have an innermost spiritual meaning, and I've given you his commentary on Psalm 1. It's not easy, but it gives you a sense of how he interprets the particular phrases and tries to put them into his notion of the spiritual path. And I've given you both Psalms 1 and Psalm 2, the scholia or commentaries. I should add that this commentary on the Psalms is Evagrius' longest work. And below that, the practice of antiresis, which for Evagrius is using verses from the scriptures to counteract the demons. In the beginning of the book, in which he lists all these biblical verses that can be used to counteract the demons, he says, "The struggles of the ascetic life are what the Holy Spirit taught David through the Psalms. The Psalter is the place where we learn about the inner struggle and where God teaches us how to triumph. So the Psalter is both a weapon and a place of learning. It is, as we've seen in other authors, a mirror of how God is inviting our souls to change.